Welcome, Saints, to the Mystery and Truth Bible Study Voice Room. Sorry for the technical difficulties. My computer doesn't like teletalk for some reason, or vice versa. Thank you, Ronnie, for that beautiful lesson this morning. I'm so glad that I don't have to go out and find a lamb to kill every Easter weekend. That would be a mess. Pray that the people would understand what you're trying to teach. That would be great. This is Ellen Mass from Indiana, the birthplace of TFT and the founder, Oscar Baker. We believe that a major change in God's administration happened at the end of Acts. And to enhance your study, enhance your true understanding of the Bible and what it says about this present age, it would be important to understand what happened at the end of Acts. Well, for today's date, this is March 23rd, 2025. March is almost gone already. Well, yay! I'm looking forward to April and May, the warmer weather here. That's for sure. Our lesson today is going to be on... Well, it's entitled, Is Religion a Good Thing? Is Religion a Good Thing? In a conversation with someone, that's great, neither am I. But how many religions are there in the world? The internet says that there are about 4,000 religions. 85% of the world identifies with a religious group. Five most prominent religions are Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism. Islam follows the Prophet Muhammad. Judaism follows their patriarch Abraham. Hinduism follows various systems of philosophy and rituals of the Indus Valley civilization. Buddhism follows the teachings of Buddha. Christianity is founded on the teachings of Jesus Christ and his 12 apostles. Agnosticism follows the doctrine that humans cannot know beyond just the mere existence of things. Atheists do not believe in a God or any superior power. Humanism focuses on humans and their values, capacities, and worth. Some say that religions are a good thing and that they provide societies with a code of conduct, ethics, social structure, and moral values. Can you imagine what a world would be like without any religions? But some religions want to eliminate everybody else, especially these days. You hear these chants, death to America, from the Muslims. The Roman Catholic Church, in its early years, for about 1,000 years, said to convert or die. The Muslims want to destroy all infidels. The Islamic nationalists, anti-Zionism, what we call Hamas. Jews want to get rid of all the Christians. So, what is the reaction to someone who claims, I found religion? Isn't it usually a positive reaction? Many people have the opinion and belief that religion is a good thing. Compared to other religions of the world, the religion of Christianity is only a step in the right direction to the truth. But Christianity made a wrong turn after the end of the Acts, and continued on a road that was closed. They either didn't see or just ignored the detour sign presented in the scriptures. Just like all the other religions in the world, they are either blind to the truth or choose to be disobedient to the Word of God. Christianity still seems to live in the Gospels and the Acts period. The English word religion is derived from the Latin religo, re-lego. You've heard me teach this before. Re means again, lego means to bind, as a ligament binds a muscle to the bone, the ligament, lego. The word religion means to bind again. Religion in its original form seems to have signified an oath or a vow to some god or a god. The Greek, thraskia, that's Strong's 2356, is defined as a ceremonial observance, religion, worshiping. It's from a derivative of the Greek 2357, which is ceremonious in worship, pious or religious. Here is my observation. We have an English translation, the King James Version of God's Word, that is interpreted by religious people. The King James Version translators equated religion with worship, perhaps because of their own doctrinal misunderstanding of the Bible. Religion is distinct from theology or virtue or morality. The English word religion is found only 5 times in the King James Version. One of those is James 1:27, where it says, true religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, how does this compare to our definition of religion? If pure religion equates to pure worship, then in this verse, pure and undefiled worship before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What about all the ritual and ceremony and the altar in the temple? What about all that? The English word religious is found twice in the King James Version. Again, in James 1:26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion is a controlled tongue that speaks the truth. Is that it? Is that all? I believe that neither Jesus Christ nor the Apostle Paul would have ever started a religion like Christianity. Jesus constantly upgraded the religious leaders during his earthly ministry. Their religion was in vain. They didn't speak the truth. Paul was constantly at odds with the religious leaders everywhere he went. Their religion was in vain. They didn't speak the truth. Paul told Peter to his face in Antioch that he was to be blamed. They walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel. That was Galatians 2:14. In a biblical or spiritual sense, if the truth shall make you free, then what shall bind us again? In John 8:32, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many Christians continue in the word? It's like I said, there's stuff in the Gospels and the Acts period. What does it mean exactly, the truth shall make you free? Well, they answered Jesus saying, we be Abraham's seed and we were never in bondage to a man. Oh, really? They were never in bondage to a man? What about Egypt? What about Babylon? What about all these kings that ruled over them during the Judges period? That was a lie. How sayest thou, we shall be made free? Jesus answered them in verse 34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Verse 37 says, "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." Well, up there in verse 31, it says, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, well, they weren't really believers, were they? They were fake. In verse 38, he says, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father," the father of lies. The Jews were bound to the law of the old covenant. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law of the old covenant, and thereby he set all the Jews free from the law if they would simply believe in him. In John verse 8:36, "As if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So only the Son of God, Christ Jesus, can make you free through the truth of his word. John 8:45, Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Verse 43, "Why do ye not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and though not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So if the truth makes us free, then untruth, or lies, binds us again. If a religion binds us, what are we bound to? A religion binds us again to the lies of the devil, the father of lies." Romans 1:25, Paul says, speaking of these unbelievers who change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. He's speaking of the people of the world today and the people of his time. All religions originate from Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. Well, you can go all the way back to Cain and Abel before the flood. Cain refused to worship God in a proper way, as Abel did, and that Abel shed the blood of his sacrificial lamb. Even back before the Passover, there was a lamb sacrifice for God. Nimrod rebelled against God and built the first brick and mortar tower, a church. I call it a church, to worship heavenly bodies, the zodiac. Nimrod started his own religion. But can you see that religion is defined by worship? All religions are bound to the lies of Satan concerning not only who to worship, but also how to worship. How much of the Old Testament is about God's people who would worship anything but the one true God? Israel was given laws of worship. They were given exactly what to do and how to do it. But how long did that last? It didn't last very long. Remember when they went and they went to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem after they were in captivity for Babylon? They found his book. Well, hey, what's his book? Oh, it was the law that God gave to Moses. Maybe we ought to get back to this. How many times did they make a golden calf to worship? How many times did they worship man-made idols in the Old Testament and constructed a church? A booth on every corner. They set up high places in every city and set up images and groves and made their children pass through fire. they follow the statutes of the heathen and serve Baal and Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth, that's where we get the word Easter. Anyway, just read the Old Testament. Look at all the problems that mankind had with worshiping anything but God. In the Old Testament, the religions are called inventions. You look at Psalm 99:7-9. It says, "He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them." You know, the First Amendment forbids religion. First Amendment talks about who to worship. Verse 8, "Thou answered them, O Lord, thou wast a God that forgave them, though thou took vengeance of their inventions." I think that's another word for religions. "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." Psalm 106:28-29. "They joined themselves also to Baal Peor and ate the sacrifice of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and a plague broke out among them." Now they provoked God to anger with their inventions. So a plague broke out upon them. Psalms 106:39. Let's take 35-39. Verse 35 says, "But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, and they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the Lamanites polluted their blood." Verse 39, "Thus they were defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance." Ecclesiastes 7:29. "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made an upright, had made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." The only place in the New Testament where it tells a believer today who to worship and how to worship, do you know where that is? That's in John chapter 4. You could ask any preacher this question. Where does it tell a believer today how to worship and who to worship? John chapter 4. John 24:21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." So what does he mean by that? Does it mean there will come a time when you will not worship in a place or worship in a group? John 4:23-24 continues. He said, "But the hour cometh, and now is." I like that dual tense there. The hour cometh, the future, and now is, the present, "when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." That means they're going to worship individually, or worship from within, internally. That's different. Verse 24, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Notice the words "shall worship" in verse 23 and "must worship" in 24. Those are pretty strong words. A correct religion or worship requires truth. Truth is equivalent to divine revelation. There's nothing said here by Jesus about a religion or a church or a tradition or a temple or a priest or a sacrifice or an altar. Sim- simply worship in spirit and in truth. Remember in the Old Testament where Samuel said to King Saul of Israel, remember, Saul was told to go out and destroy all these people and kill every man, woman, and child, and even their animals, and kill them all. And he decided, well, I'm going to bring the animals back. I'm going to bring back the head guy, and I'm going to sacrifice all these animals to God. And the Lord wasn't happy with that. Samuel said in 15:22, 1 Samuel, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. In other words, to obey God, to obey the truth, is better than any religion, any type of ceremony or religious practice. Verse 23, he said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That's pretty strong words. So this is why the Lord was so upset at Saul, King Saul. He disobeyed that one order. He brought back these animals, and he brought back the head guy, and he didn't kill him, like he was told to do. God says, I don't care about your sacrifice. I care about your obedience. So the blindness to the truth results in doctrines built on lies. I like what Elihu said in Job 34:32. It's on the cover of all my file folders for my lessons. That which I see not, teach thou me. That which I see not, teach thou me. About tradition, this is my observance, that religion becomes a tradition, and tradition becomes a religion. I was involved in some of those many years ago. Matthew 15:3, Jesus says, why do you transgress the commandments of men by your tradition? In verse 6 of Matthew 15, he says, thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You can find it also in Mark, similar words, Gospel of Mark. In John 9:39, Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Think about that one for a minute. That they which see not might see, and they which see might be blind. I guess that means some people think they know everything and know nothing, and some people are kind of humble, and then they can see the things that other men can't see. Sometimes wonder why all these religious leaders in Christianity can't see anything about right division or dispensation of truth, yet some of us who are nobodies have been able to see it quite easily. What happens when believers in Christ are saved but do not come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, they form a religion. They formulate doctrines based on lies. They worship not in the spirit and in the truth. Their house is built on sand. Some say that religion is bondage to a creed. The creed of the religion of Christianity is known as the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. And I think there's some points in there that we would disagree with. The Shahada is the Muslim creed. The Buddhist, the Shin Buddha creed. The Jewish creed is the Shema. or Shema Yisrael, which is a statement of faith in monotheism. This is recited twice a day as a prayer. Twice a day. Well, Hinduism does not have a set creed. They believe that just good things happen because of good behavior. How does that work? Galatians 2:4. Paul says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in probably to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So Paul knew about this liberty that he had in Christ Jesus from the old covenant and Moses. But I know the Jews wanted to keep bringing him back to the laws of Moses. In Galatians 4:3, Paul says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. 4:9, Paul says, but now after that we have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? For unto ye desire again to be in bondage. That was legalism and religion. These weak and beggarly elements. Galatians 5:1, Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He wrote that way before John's Gospel was written. This yoke of bondage makes me think of oxen with the yoke. A yoke. We go to the state fair, and every year they have a pair of oxen there with the yoke. And used for burdens. To bind is the opposite to bring to being loose or being free. That is why the term religious freedom seems to me to be an oxymoron. Freedom of religion, I can't understand. Freedom to be bound again? That doesn't make sense. Now, I can't understand freedom from religion. Is there a religion where one can be in bondage to the truth? Well, talking about the body of Christ, can it be said that the body of Christ is in bondage to the truth? And the truth makes us free? The body of Christ is not a religion. Not a church. It's not Christianity. It's not a sect. But I believe. As a member of the body of Christ, I am free from the religion that once bound me and kept me in darkness. I have been called out from the religion of Christianity. I recall back when I left the Catholic Church, I read Revelation 18:4. Come out of her, my people, and do not share in her iniquities. For they are piled up against her in heaven. When I read that verse, I told my wife, we're no longer Catholics. And I think that's the same verse that called me out of the religion of Christianity. Speaking of false religions. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Think this is just having your understanding darkened. Nice way to put it. Colossians 1:12-13. Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the most holy of all, in the light, in the light. verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Ephesians 1, 7 through 9 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. And you could say the mystery of his will is equal to the secret of his desire. And that takes me back to 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. For it is, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have or who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The secret of the desire is to have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is not saved, he desires all men to be saved and go to church, or to be saved and join a religion. It does not say go to church to get saved. A religion or a church does not save anyone. So I believe that people are now saved in this present age through the gospel of John. And they come unto the knowledge of truth through Paul's prison epistle. This is the truth about the body of Christ. I just can't find any biblical justification or purpose for a religion, unless it's to bind us again to the searching of dispensational truth in obedience to the Word of God, rightly divided. That was a mouthful. Just because there is a God, the God, there does not have to be a religion. The God is the only God that does not require a religion. He desires freedom in Christ through obedience to his truth. I pray that all believers in Christ come to the knowledge of the truth and heed the call to the membership in the body of Christ. If all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, then there would be no need for religion. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your teaching today, for your truth. We hope it touches the hearts and minds of these souls that are with us today on this lesson. And may we all go forth this week worshiping in spirit and truth, as we do 24/7. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.